Welcome back, Internet, to another episode of the Z2 Podcast. I'm back in control. Zach is not doing the intro this week.
Hi.
It scared me last time. And this week we have a very special guest again. John from Hall of Justice is joining us. Welcome back, John.
What's up?
It's good to have you back.
Emphasis on special.
We really like you. We promise.
Episode 5 is
appreciate that.
Episode
that
5
is
still one of my favorite episodes, nice. And that's what I've also heard from a lot of people.
Woo-hoo.
So there really wasn't any news again this week, so we figured we'd probably just skip out on that, and then we're just going to talk about the Rebirth issues that came out this week, and then we're going to... A majority of this episode is going to be devoted to like an indie/image/creator-owned just comics discussion.
Cool.
Let's just start off with the Rebirth stuff. So, which one do we want to talk about first? Do we want to start off with Aquaman for John?
I think we should start off with Aquaman.
I love Aquaman.
Considering, yeah, I went through the entire New 52 Aquaman run this past weekend.
Awesome.
Thanks to John.
You're welcome.
I love it.
You're very welcome.
I mean, I picked it up, when Dan Abnett came on,
right.
And I've loved it ever since.
That's cool.
That's been really great.
It's been a solid run ever since the beginning. You know, people give him a lot of shit. But, I mean, even the crazy hook hand pirate Aquaman in the 90s, it was awesome. It's just he gets shit because of Super Friends. So.
Yeah. I liked that they made a little call out to that in the Rebirth issue.
Yes.
Like, no, he really doesn't talk to fish. He just influences them.
There's a little cartoony image of him talking like an octopus.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
on
that's
the TV.
Wonderful.
That was awesome. Stupid topo.
Aquaman with Dan Abnett slowly becoming one of my new favorite comics to read, just
nice.
Because there's such a large focus with him and Mara,
right.
Constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like those are some of the best Aquaman stories.
I kind of miss that she's already out of the Aquawoman outfit, because I like
sucks.
That. I was like, that's a really cool design.
Such a flash in the pan.
But they went straight back to the classic one, so
yeah.
I at least kept that.
Well, there's something to be said about a character that's been around for 75 years. He's been married to Mira the entire time, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, not the
it's
whole
kind
time,
of impressive when you think about
right,
it.
You know, she showed up in issue 11 of his self-titled run, and they got married in issue 18, and they've been one of the few like actual married couples that haven't split up, that haven't divorced, etc. You know, the entire time that they've been around. So it's kind of cool. I mean, it's something that's unique.
Yeah, it's also kind of interesting that nobody managed to write a more interesting female character for Arthur to get with at
right.
some point.
Well, if you guys read the Cullen Bunn run on Aquaman when Mira's sister disguised herself as Mira and slept with Arthur.
The run that people said don't
kinda,
bother.
I was told to skip that arc.
It was okay.
Go from Jeff Parker straight to Dan Abnett. I like Cullen Bunn on a Green Lantern when
yeah.
he did Edge of Oblivion,
yep.
I think it was. But, you know, some of the other...
I think it was Lost Army.
That
was Tom Taylor.
Yeah, Lost Army. It was before Tom Taylor's.
Gotcha.
Right.
But, man, let me tell you, that whole arc was fun, but I don't know if I could enjoy him on Aquaman at all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just the whole thing of like how he wanted to leave the book like before he was even out, that
right.
just kind of spelled bad
right.
signs of like, just get the story out, just get it out there, get
yeah,
move on with it.
Yeah, trying to make Aquaman that dark character for like those 7 issues was really jarring for me.
Right.
You know, the black armor, the sword that turns into the trident.
Yeah.
He's a fugitive of Atlantis. I mean, that
right.
made no sense to me.
It harkened back to the Aquaman Sword of Atlantis stuff when at the end of the... pre-New 52 series when Tomasi and Gleason were writing it and they left and then they turned it into like a weird underwater fantasy. That's kind of what it reminded me of, and that wasn't good, and this was okay, but it wasn't great. But the Rebirth one-shot was awesome. So
yeah, we were talking a little bit before we started, just seeing Black Manta pop
right.
up at the very end. He was the narrator for the entire issue.
Right.
We all know, like, he's the big Aquaman villain other than, like, Ocean Master.
Sure.
So, what are your kind of hopes for seeing the rest of the story?
You know, I hope that Manta is going to push Arthur to his limits. And that's when he's the best. Because, you know, they talked about how he's a man with really no home, Arthur is.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
He's the son of Atlantis. He's also half-human. but he belongs to neither world. So he kind of, you know, he has to do double duty. And much like Wonder Woman, where she's the god of war, she's an Amazonian, she's the, you know, the Amazonian emissary to the rest of the world, and a Justice League member, I think those characters are at their best when you have somebody trying to strip them of everything. And that's what I think Manta's going to go after.
Yeah, okay. Just like they even highlighted a bunch of this stuff of like, oh, he's built this embassy. He's right. Trying to improve relations.
So you know that's going
to
get
yeah, that's, I mean, that's, like, that was my first immediate bomb. Thought. Like, even that's
the last,
gone. Yeah.
Even like the last mini arc was like, oh, should we trust this whole embassy thing? Because right. it's like that very classic kind of like Throne of Atlantis, like, can we actually trust this guy who can literally sure. wipe out the entire East Coast in a right. given moment?
Exactly. So I'm excited to see where that goes with Manta. I mean, he's definitely one of, like you said, him and Ocean Master are the two. So to get them to team up to do something, you know, like in the Throne of Atlantis cartoon, but something, yeah, it's good. I'm excited.
See, I wonder if this is their way to bring back some other characters too. We've had Garth and Tula around right. for Dan Abnett's run. I wonder if this is how they're going to bring Calderon back.
Sure.
He showed up in the Rebirth yeah. one shot.
This will yep. be a good way to bring yep. him into this.
Absolutely. So maybe he's Jackson Hyde, the son of Black yeah. Manta, right. kind of figuring out his place in the world.
Right.
Could be kind of like that, almost like how the last Flash arc went, where Wally was like, he's the only, like, everybody was against the Flash, and then Wally was the only one that really believed in it. Maybe it's kind of something like that, where sure. everybody's against Aquaman, except Calderon.
See, the viewpoint I'm looking at is kind of similar to Young Justice Season 2 or the Flashpoint movie, where Calder was teamed up with Black Manta at the very beginning. Yeah. So
that'd be kind of cool to see, too.
Be cool.
You know, Calder, I am your father. Just that whole thing. And then he and Calderon go to war with Aquaman, and somehow he sees the light.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know what to do anymore. It's like, come with me. I will train you.
Right.
Yeah, right now I'm digging through a lot of Aquaman back issues nice. Just because, you know, there's so many big names that were attached to that series yep. that I didn't realize. Like you said, Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, man, they were my favorite team on Batman Diego. And Robin.
So the whole water bearer thing, it was cool. It was different. Again, they were trying to bring, they keep trying to put magic into the Aquaman. And granted, you know, Atlantis
I mean,
is kind
isn't
of a magical
Mara,
place.
Like the water mysticist, though, or right. something along those lines?
That's a Zeebel bloodline thing.
Yeah, okay. She's from a clone of Atlantis from another dimension, basically. So her powers are different. But they keep, like part of the water bearer thing, you know, Aquaman lost his hand and he went to the Lady in the Lake and she replaced it with this magical water hand, which is great. And so that first kind of run from that volume, God, that was probably, I don't know what volume that was, but that was pre-Tomasi and Gleason.
Okay.
When they took over and they did this whole Sub Diego story arc where, I can't remember the name of the criminal org, you know, it's like the opposite of Star Labs and it's the bad guy version of that.
Okay.
They sank San Diego. But at the same time, they injected this chemical into the water, and it caused everybody who were air breathers to become water breathers. And so now there's this second giant city underwater, and Aquaman has to, you know, leave Atlantis and go kind of, you know, mediate over all of these new people that have these newfound powers and teach them how to eat and how to live underwater, right. basically. Huh. So that was a really cool story arc. Okay. There was some crazy stuff in that, but the art was amazing. The story was awesome. It's good stuff too.
Awesome. I'll be on my DCC
nice.
Checklist.
Hunt list.
Down. Just yeah. old Aquaman stuff. Yeah, I have a lot of stuff I'm going to be hunting down for sure. That yeah, I can't even remember the list. Like I'd have to open up my little app to remember everything that I'm going to be looking for.
I'll have to share this with your. I've been working on picking up more Golden Age stuff,
right?
Which is stupid because it's stupid expensive. But I picked up the last superhero issue of More Fun Comics where Aquaman, Green Arrow, and Superboy are in it. And there's a fantastic panel that I'll have to post to your Instagram or Facebook or whatever. But it's like, it sums up how awesome Aquaman is. He's literally chucking a fish in a dude's mouth. He's like, I've had it with you. Take this. And there goes a fish in the guy's mouth.
That's excellent.
So That's hopefully so, we see some of that.
Yeah, that's like wonderful. Like super, just maybe even just like small call outs or like a background character.
It would be
doing
awesome
it.
Just choking on a sardine or whatever.
See, again, the crowning moment of awesome for Aquaman for me was during Justice League where he just summons
what do you even
giant
do?
Sharks to chomp on parademons. I'm like, all right, I will take this. This is.
Did you guys see the trailer for the new Injustice game where he does that at the end of it? Like that. I didn't play the first one, so I don't know if he did any shark juju.
I
want to
say he did. I think he like summoned a shark or something, like burst through the arena or something ate someone.
That's cool.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it looks cool. It's like part of me wants to get that game just to for the story's sake, but at the same time, I'm terrible at fighting games that I don't enjoy.
They're
going to
release the comic series.
That's true, yeah.
Apparently, maybe. I mean, they did all 5 years of the original Injustice game, and this is supposed to be a continuation of that first game. So, I don't know. I'm curious how to see that story goes, but to see Aquaman, Black Manta's Atrocitus turning into the Butcher.
That was awesome.
Man, I was so hyped.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So
it wouldn't be our podcast unless we got derailed.
Yep, we pretty much derailed every like 10 minutes probably. So let's move on with more Rebirth. Should we do Flash next? I think I brought that up already. So it was a really cool. It was like you got to see the two sides of the kind of the Rebirth story with Wally and Barry.
Right.
Like, especially after they meet up, like, you get to see both their thought processes, and it's just really interesting because Barry doesn't think he did anything. He thinks Wally saved him, and then it was the other way around for Wally.
Right.
I was really hyped up about it. Joshua Williamson, who's the writer, he does a lot of Image stuff, so I got excited when he got announced for it. He's Haro
a great,
Country, isn't he?
Nailbiter.
Nailbiter.
He does Nailbiter, and he does Birthright. Yeah.
Yeah, so two really solid Image books.
For sure.
And his artist does such an awesome job with, like, the whole busy lightning thing, but he makes every image of Barry standing still.
Yeah.
So even when he's just Barry as a forensic investigator, it's still, I love it. I love the art style for the new guy.
Yeah, like even just like you just said, like some of those panels of him just standing still. I'm just like, I like looked at every individual one. I'm like, there's something different about these. Yeah. Like there's lightning in different spots of this image. This is really cool.
And one of the cool things that I liked, and I guess it's something DC is doing as a whole right now. So for every speedster, when they are running, their lightning's actually a different hue. So like I know Barry, he has like the yellow lightning, but it turns more gold when he's running. With like that little pink outline, and Wally and Titans is supposed to have like silver lightning chasing across him. So
kind of fits with his new design.
Yeah, it's one of those really ridiculous things. Like even Wally is like, "Oh, my old suit. Don't worry about it. I can use the Speed Force Constructor."
Oh yeah, I forgot you did
still
that.
Using the
you
ring?
Can do that.
No, he's like, "Oh yeah, I forgot you did that."
Again, I'm more than anything, I'm happy just to see Wally around.
Sure.
He's my favorite Flash. Mm-hmm. It's that saying that your favorite Justice League that you grew up with is your favorite incarnations of those characters. So I grew up with Wally West, and I was just so excited to see him back and then see him play just like a super minor role in this Rebirth issue. Just anything involving those characters, seeing them kind of go back to their roots, especially literally Barry going back to his roots where a speedster possibly killed this lady.
Right.
And then seeing visions of Wally, seeing visions of Zoom, seeing visions of Godspeed.
Yeah.
It's going to be really cool to see how
it's going
to
be. Yeah. It's
going to
be interesting of like who got this Godspeed actually is, because it seems like he can like maybe manipulate like, I don't know, memories or something with the Speed Force or people who have been influenced by it.
Or the Speed Force is trying to warn him.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it's the classic joke.
Well, I mean,
Force fixes everything.
Right. I mean, even at the very beginning, he thinks he sees Zoom. Zoom thought. I'm getting mixed up between the two Zooms now because we have the TV show Zoom and Professor Zoom.
Right.
But he, like, just tries to actually, like, fight him right there. Like,
yeah.
It seems like Godspeed's, like, either trying to control something over him, or it is the Speed Force, like, trying to warn him.
Or, I like that you see the interaction between Barry and Bruce, because you know they show the Watchman button again, and so that's the first time, you know, it's the first real issue out of all of the stuff that's come out in 2 weeks that's addressed some of the things from the DCU Rebirth one shot. So that was cool. It was cool to see.
Yeah, wasn't it?
That they're gonna, because that was my first thought, is like, all right, you know, the Rebirth, the single issue was such a big deal how long is it going to take them to play off of that?
Right.
I'm glad that they're not waiting terribly long.
Yeah. I wonder how much of the Flash storyline is going to be involved with that.
Sure.
Yeah. Again, going back to the discussion relationships, you know, seeing Barry and Bruce actually talk and Barry just going along the lines of how much he respects Bruce as a detective, as a scientist, was really cool. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the big things John's tried to do too in his Justice League run, is just like these characters match up in certain ways because they respect each other on different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, going along with the whole Watchmen thing, I'm really excited to see how that unfolds. I know, you know, Jim Lee and Dan Didio, Geoff Johns all said it'll unfold little by little across all the books in a certain way. I think the first arc of the Titans book is supposed to deal with a lot of that. Yeah, Titans is
supposed to impact it. Seems like Wonder Woman's going to have, at least one of the storylines is going to have some sort of effect with it.
Yeah, the Spirit of Truth and Wonder Woman, that was so awesome. Yeah,
it was a good segue.
Right there. Let's talk about Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it was Greg excellent. Rucka being back. Oh my goodness, that was just a lot of nostalgia built up again. Just seeing this incarnation of Wonder Woman going like, there's something wrong. She recognizes, she puts the lasso around her arm, and the lasso straight up tells her there is something wrong and you need to figure out what it is. So is she a god of war? Is she really who she believes she is?
Made out of clay? Is she Zeus's daughter? You know, which one?
I mean, she won't be allowed in the orphan club of the Justice League anymore.
Right. It was really cool. Like, even when she's like in her monologuing, she puts on the helmet and then just crushes it. Like, I shouldn't have been able to do that.
Right. So is it foreshadowing that she's, you know, kind of abolishing her role as the god of war?
Was she ever really the god of war?
Right.
Yeah.
As Brian Azzarello made her. So it's really cool that Rucka is actually going to do two different stories. He's the only writer, I think, that's doing that between his bi-weekly issues. So like the odd numbers are the modern time, and then the even number line. Issues is the Wonder Woman Earth One, essentially.
Year one.
Earth One, my bad.
With, that already came out.
Nicola Scott. And I think that's really cool because we get to see Diana like uncovering the whole big lie thing. And right. I wonder.
We also hopefully get to see who her brother is.
Right. Yeah. And I wonder if that's going to also match back up into the year one stuff.
Like after.
To see some background characters mention things without her being aware of it.
Right. Or maybe like they somehow like. After the very last issue, the arc, they like both stories, like there's some sort of meeting point between the two of
she's found a convergence, maybe.
Maybe there.
We don't talk about convergence.
Just trying to avoid that because it would bring up that again.
What I really like though, the artist did such a phenomenal job. There's one page where Diana's like just thinking back, and it's like a shattered image with all these different panels that are. From the new 52, from pre-Flashpoint and everything else. And I'm like, this is just so wildly cool.
Yeah.
This is the first Wonder Woman book I'm actually pulling. Like, I read Azzarello's stuff in trade, but to have Greg Rucka come back, I was just extremely excited. I have to read this right now. I don't want to be behind on it.
Sure. Right, yeah. That was kind of how my feeling was, too. I was like, I love Greg Rucka. I love how he writes his female characters, so this is, like, perfect.
Nice.
And the art, the art is just incredible. Like Liam Sharp, I don't think the original
Liam Sharp did like
Liam
the last
Sharp
few
did
pages.
The last part. The first Which part wasn't in. By the act wasn't Nicholas Scott though.
No,
so we got to see Liam Sharp's stuff, but we didn't get to see Nicholas Scott.
And see, Wonder Woman. We talked about this a little earlier, but the Aquaman stuff with the different artists really threw me off, and it kind of disengaged me as a reader, where I didn't feel the same way about the Wonder Woman thing. I don't know.
I wonder if it's because we just kind of expected it, because they've already said that it was going to have two artists.
But it also worked because she went to...
it was different moments in time.
Yeah.
When she went to...
Mount Olympus.
Yes, Mount Olympus. You know, it's a different setting. It's a different, background. And so that worked.
That was my thoughts, too. It was like different moments of time, different artists at these points. Like, kind of... that anthology feel to it in a 30-page comic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was easily my favorite one that I read this week. Like, I really like the Flash one, but Wonder Woman just killed it.
One of my friends is just so upset. He does not read anything from Marvel or DC. He's just like a indie person, and he's like, "I'm losing Black Magic because of this." Fine, right. I'm gonna read it, I guess. Just like that angry nerd rage.
That's awesome.
Meanwhile, DC is like, "Yes, it worked. Excellent."
You can't say no to Wonder Woman.
No, you can't. Not even the readers. So we got two more here. Let's do Detective Comics next, since that was the last one I read. I didn't read Action. I'm not really reading any of the Superman stuff except for Supergirl, Superwoman. I'm going to try New Superman just because it seems interesting. But
nice.
So we'll go with Detective next, which was really just a big setup for the whole story arc to come.
Yep.
Which was really cool.
Did the Basil Karloff,
yeah.
Karloff, I can't remember his full name, but those clayface scenes where he's sitting in the theater.
Yeah.
The art was just so amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like that almost watercolor for the film.
Right.
Imagery.
And I love the design of Batman. Like, my favorite Batman is when Ethan Van Shriver does the veiny Batman cape, and they had that in the book, which is cool, and I love that. So it was awesome. It was a good. It was a great read. Like, yeah. I love where they're going with it.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see that Batman essentially. I mean, we had Batman Incorporated for a while, but see him rebuild his family, build the army back up to go against this larger force.
Sure,
and then just. Someone was like, oh, you know, he's putting all these B-list characters together so they get some spotlight because their books didn't do well. But at the same time, it's like, from a character standpoint, you're putting all these characters together who excel at something,
right.
but don't contribute in another way to something else. Like, Tim Drake is an excellent tactician. He's just as great as a detective as Batman. But then you have someone like Stephanie Brown, who's so spontaneous, who's so unpredictable.
Right.
But she's a great fighter.
Really well. Yeah.
So the two of them together, they work so much better, like really cohesive as a unit.
Then you have Cass, and I just I don't like the orphan costume.
Yeah.
I appreciate the armor look. The mask is very reminiscent of Black Bat.
Right.
Exactly. But the armor not even is Black Bat. Weird. That's her original Batgirl costume. Black Bat. She had like. Domino mask.
I thought she didn't cover her mouth though until she became Black Bat though.
No, that was Batgirl. She took the whole mouth costume off thing.
Well, wasn't her like original thing? Like, she didn't want anybody to absolutely know who she was, like even a small glimpse of it.
Maybe.
I feel like I read something like that.
I know the costume.
Right. I feel like I've read something like that where she didn't want to be no identity.
If they would have just put some ears and a bat symbol on the orphan costume, I would have been completely satisfied.
I like the fact that it's still kind of like it. Like I said, it's kind of reminiscing back to the Black Bat. Like, you see the yellow stripes in there. Like, that was Cass's suit original costume. But yeah, it just seems like something's missing on it.
Ears.
It's literally ears. Cape or something. Yeah, probably ears mostly.
Yeah. It's really cool just to see all these characters coming together. And then Tinian did a really good job.
Tynan.
Snyder's
building, confirmed it is Tynan.
Building all these characters up into their larger roles. And see Batwoman come in to essentially be the leader of this boot camp.
And I'm so excited because I love Kate Kane. And I'm so glad to have her back.
Yeah.
And they're cousins, isn't that what they said?
Yep. They went with the cousin storyline again. Cool. Bruce's mother was a Kane, so
Martha.
How do you know that name?
Martha's actually the secret DLC character in Injustice 2. I don't know if you guys heard. Her ultimate move is getting shot down an alley. Oh, God.
She throws her pearls at you.
Her ultimate, when you... It's,
just take them, please.
When Bruce and Martha fight, Bruce is just paralyzed the whole time. Oh, man. Oh, there we go. There's another derail. Just add that to the counter.
So, again, with Detective, though, I'm really curious to see who the big bad is, because essentially they have a Batman army. Yeah.
I immediately thought Arkham Knight. I was like, how much Arkham Knight did James Tynan play? Because this is like, even the design of all the like soldiers was like, that looks like exactly like the Arkham Knight mask.
Do you think that they're soldiers or robots?
That was a lot of them. It's probably soldiers. I want to say soldiers, but there was a lot of them to be a mess, so it could be robots or some sort of like drone.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who, if the big bad is a new character or if it's a spin on an older character, because
I feel like this is something Bane would do. I'm just really used to being seeing Bane kind of build up an army to take on Batman. So, could I don't be. Know.
It kind of seems like it is a new character, though.
Yeah.
Just because the way they talked, it just didn't seem like anyone had
the drones following him around.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I don't know. That's why I thought robots.
And that's why I thought Arkham Knight. Like, they're using similar designs to what the Arkham Knight did. So, it's like, could be kind of something along those lines.
Yeah. So, a lot of people are kind of... From what I was reading, you know, some people are just upset, and I mean, it's just a build-up issue.
It's setting up everything.
Expository to kind of give you an idea of this team and
understand
together.
Why each character was chosen, especially Clayface. Like, it's like he has redeeming qualities. Right. Like, give him a chance, and he will prove himself.
Yeah,
still wondering
he's
how he's
a bad
gonna
guy. He just wanted to clear the theater out to watch himself. There's nothing wrong with that.
He wants something. Have a DVD player, guys. Come on,
he's in jail.
Kate Kane's design was kind of interesting too. Like, they definitely went with the hard, like, she is of a military family, like, she's going to be the drill sergeant in this whole thing.
Yeah, and some people are like, well, why is she the one that's going to be the leader? I mean, she got kicked out of the army, she's always worked alone, she's rejected the Bat family, but I mean, at the same time, she's the one that understands how to build a cohesive unit. So it makes sense that she's going to be the one who leads this team, essentially, while Batman's off digging around.
Doing whatever with the actual Batman storyline.
Doing the actual detective part.
Yeah. It's really nice to see that. Like, even Geoff Johns, like, when they announced Rebirth, like, it's going to bring back the whole cohesive storyline for everything. And I'm glad that we're starting to see that already with, like, how Bruce mentioned Duke Thomas already. Sure. Like, he's mentioned, like, it seems like, okay, the story's actually going to make sense together, like, or they could have that collision point.
What? There's continuity again?
Yeah. I know. It's amazing. We don't have, like, four different Batmans running around.
We don't have Rogue,
but
Green Lantern.
Three Jokers.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's going to be odd.
I just want to know. I really want to know.
Yeah. Which one is it? I don't know if we talked about this, but there's, like, this whole rumor that one of the Jokers is a corrupted comedian. It's going to be a matter of maybe if that is true. I want to say it's Snyder's Joker, just because he's the only one who's made it into the Batcave. And that's where he found the little pin.
Yeah, but that was according to the Flash issue. Wally was the one who implanted that into the wall.
Right.
Yeah, small things.
Yeah.
Because I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, Joker was the only one who's been in that Batcave, too. Or the Court of Owls.
True.
Yeah. Or anyone else in this past New 52 run. Yeah.
Wonder if we'll see the Court of Owls.
Catwoman's
again.
Been in there a lot.
Court of Owls is Nightwing.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because of the whole
Robin
I will
War.
Join you.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting of how that plays out, just because nobody knows who Dick Grayson is anymore. Does that mean the Court of Owls don't know who he is anymore either? I feel like that's the one group that probably wasn't influenced by it, or he's going to, like, infiltrate them and, like, take them down from the inside or something.
Well, they know who Nightwing is.
Oh, okay.
And so, I mean, they the end of Grayson, they have, like, a giant satellite in the sky that basically wiped everyone's memory of who Dick Grayson is, but they still remember Nightwing himself.
So it was like the reverse of what happened at the end of Forever Evil, where everybody knew who Dick Grayson was.
Poor Dick. Can't catch a break.
No. He's the emotional punching bag of the DC universe.
But he's the happy emotional punching bag of the DC universe.
He takes it in stride.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I didn't read Action Comics this week, so
holy
not point,
Superman.
So.
Yeah,
Batman.
Jesus. I haven't read the Superman titles for a long time. I read 52 because it died, you know, New 50 Superman died, I guess. And, but yeah, there was a lot of shit going on in that book.
Yeah, you have Lex Luthor claiming that he's the new Superman of Metropolis, and then basically the post-crisis, pre-Flashpoint Superman was like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah, so he grabs a piece of like mirror and shaves with his laser eyes and then puts his suit on and starts to go fight Lex, you know, right downtown Metropolis.
And
they're really doing the whole reign of the Superman again.
Exactly.
Like, they've straight up just recreated
it. Well, the
it.
Beginning of the comic is a heist where they steal Doomsday,
right.
Which is awesome. Right. And Perry White's in the office like, we need a reporter down there ASAP. Jimmy's already there. And someone's like, on it, Perry. And then he's like, wait, that voice.
Yeah.
And then
I think it was?
The big reveal was, oh, Clark Kent's alive. I'm like, that lasted literally a week.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
No clue.
Because remember, my original theory was that the new 52 Superman would just straight up lose his powers, but would exist in Action Comics. But apparently we have a new Clark Kent running around who has all of his memories. And then he's like,
another Manhattan construct, like a retry. He's like, well, that one died, so let's try this guy.
Right.
Yeah, so Ozymandias must be doing something.
He's I'm really looking forward to a really big geneticist.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the new 52 Supermen are just clones, and that's basically when Convergence happened. Clark Kent, Superman, basically missed whatever it was in Flashpoint. Or when Dr. Manhattan touched the universe to change everything. I don't know.
It was weird. It was good. But I have no idea.
Was this a Dan Jurgens issue?
Yes. Okay. It's something I think he can pull off just because he did the original story.
He's like trying to rehash what he did back in the 90s. Like, I'm sorry, here's a better version of it.
Right.
You mean you don't like, what was it, the kid from Metropolis?
Metropolis Kid.
Yeah, the Metropolis Kid.
His leather jacket. And his earrings.
I will never forget the Max Landis video about it.
Yeah. That's my favorite Superboy costume.
It's forever ingrained.
Is it?
Yeah. Metropolis Kid?
So much better than t-shirt and jeans. And then the Tron outfit in Teen Titans.
Right.
It's my favorite costume.
That's funny.
But yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens because we have a Clark Kent who's dealt with Doomsday in the past, and so he's gonna be like, what should I do? This can't be. Doomsday exists. Sadly, we want to see Blue Beetle and Booster Gold get the crap beaten out of them.
Right.
I don't want to go through that again.
No. It'd be kind of funny to just have Booster Gold launched into space again, though.
I just want to know where he is. He hasn't shown up since Convergence.
He's in the time stream.
He turned into Wave Rider and disappeared.
I must go. My people need me.
That's awesome.
Time to go watch us. Go watch Barbara die again over and over. And
time
for
me to fix the universe by doing this,
and then get spotted by freaking Dr. Manhattan. Like, what are you doing here? I'll see myself out.
Just give me JLI back.
Yeah. That was good.
That was a good run.
Alrighty. So indie comics.
Yeah.
Indie.
So I'm gonna start off this whole discussion with, what draws you to reading an indie comic? Like, is it specifically, like, usually a writer? Is it an artist? Is it a team? Like, or is it just the whole mentality of, like, okay, this is a creator-owned book. I want to support them.
I think the story, for me, this, you know, the setup, the premise, the story is what initially, I follow creators, for sure. Like, anything Rick Remender touches, I'm in on. But you know, if it's an intriguing story, then I'll give it a shot. You know, it feels like, you know, if it's something that you're doing, if it's your intellectual property, you're going to give it your all, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to put your best foot forward. You're going to try to knock it out of the park with every single issue. And that generally seems to be the case with most of the indie stuff. So,
right.
I follow creators, but I try new stuff all of the time just to see what people are doing and what people are talking about. So,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I've always personally enjoyed about it is like, this is the creator's baby. They are going to take care of this book. And it's kind of also nice to know, at least for Image, like, I've never seen like an Image book just get canceled once the art, the team just can't work
Secret
on it.
Secret Identities.
I guess that's true.
I got canceled.
It did get canceled. Yeah. But it just seems like it's very rare. Like, even if, for the most part, it doesn't seem like the numbers matter as much for like Marvel and DC if the book gets canceled or not.
Yeah. A lot of, like, when I'm looking at sales charts, a lot of the creator owned stuff, it does fall below like the top 10. But I mean, it's really hard to compete with Batman every month. It's really hard to compete with Superman. Sure. And I agree
with
you guys.
Green Arrow selling 90,000 copies, which is insane.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the biggest numbers I've seen of an Image comic was Monstrous. Number one sold like 22,000. And that was like incredible for that book.
Yeah.
Or something like Faith in Valiant Comics. Sure. That went to fourth printing.
Right.
Which is insane in itself. And I agree with you guys. I follow in creator owned books mainly by the team and story. There's certain people like Scott Snyder. Telephone's ringing.
Ganked by telephone.
Hold on.
There's people like Scott Snyder, Rick Remender, like John said, or right now Ed Brubaker is my guy that I'm following. You know, their stories are always really interesting to me.
Yeah.
And whether it be Image, whether it be Vertigo or anything along those lines. I mean, the first time I read American Vampire, that was just mind blowing to me that comics could be something like that.
Right. And just what I really enjoy about it is like I said, like they have control over that story. Like if they want to murder a character brutally, they can, most of the time they can do it. Like, they don't have those same constraints that Marvel and DC have, like, oh, well, you got to make it family friendly, or you got to comply to this, like, story art or something, or something the editor says, like, oh, you have to do this or add this into the book.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's nice to know that whatever they did, they intentionally did for
a
story.
See, my favorite creator-owned story is the original concept, or what Hickman, or not Hickman. Who writes Kirkman? Kirkman, his concept for The Walking Dead.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, yeah, after seven issues, the aliens come down, and then it's a whole different right. story. And then
aren't
his editor
like,
came up
like
as like,
one shot with that?
There's
yeah,
a one shot.
Brian Kevon wrote it. Oh, it's
yeah.
digital only, I guess.
And that's
it's not collected in any of the anthologies either, because it's the one issue that's in full color and has nothing to do with zombies. It's all like an alien invasion. Right. But the success of creator-owned stuff is interesting to me because we see now, like, Image is becoming the third largest comic company, but other
sure
properties
are the third largest.
Other
I
properties.
I want to say they have like 10 to 18% of the overall sales.
Mm-hmm.
That's right,
something like that.
But other properties like Vertigo or Icon with Marvel, there's something there that they're not doing well, or they're not pushing these comics out enough for readers to get engaged. Like, I will read American Vampire any day of the week. Love that. But there's other Vertigo series. Yeah, there's other Vertigo series that do have big names that just don't catch people's interest as well, or as much as something like Image pumps out.
Sure. Uh-huh. And the new launch of Vertigo stuff has been super popular, and you know, there have been a lot of people that jumped on, and people who are Vertigo fans of old, because Vertigo used to be where Image is now. I mean, they were the cutting edge creator owned stuff.
They were
when
the horror
Image
books.
Was doing
they were
Spawn and Savage Dragon, and you know, all that sort of stuff. So, mm-hmm. All of the Vertigo titles that have come out have kind of a cult following again, and you know, people are digging them. Clean Room, Sheriff of Babylon, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
That artist just got a DC exclusive contract too, so we get more Sheriff,
right? Mm-hmm. But it's good stuff. It's funny because I had a couple that was in here at the shop last night, and they're like, "What's your favorite sci-fi story?" And I was like, "Well, you need to read Descender and you need to read Low." And they're like, "Oh, this looks amazing!" And I was like, "It is amazing. You will mm-hmm. love it." And then the lady's
too.
Like, "I want, you know, what about horror stuff?" It's like, "Well, you need to read Witches and Harrow County and Nailbiter, and you know, all of these things mm-hmm. are independent books. You know, it's either Dark Horse or Image, or you know, IDW is doing some cool things right now." So,
isn't IDW building like a Transformers G.I. Joe universe?
Yeah.
Like one giant cohesive thing.
Yeah, which is nuts. But it's good, and you know, you can tell that both the writers and the artists are in it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got stuff like Renato Jones, which is written, drawn, cover, everything is by Cary Andrews, and so like he has dialogue at the back of issue number one that says, "This is why I do what I do, because this is all mine." And
or like all the editors and like all the fan
when the
creators will just read the fan mail that gets sent and they comment on it.
Yeah.
Or like a personal favorite of mine, Sex Criminals.
Sure.
Like I just absolutely love how much Fraction and Zdarsky just bash on each other the whole time, and they have a whole 3 pages of just them, just in total meta of just them talking to each other. Like there was even a note of like why they did that of like, well, we couldn't figure out how we wanted to write this scene, so we were just like, what if we just had ourselves talking throughout, and you just do something with it.
That's awesome.
It's like, I love seeing stuff like that because I know it's like, I'm guaranteed they're just laughing their asses off the whole time they're creating this page and this whole dialogue sequence.
And you couldn't do that anywhere else. Oh, yeah. You couldn't do that at DC or Marvel or, you know, anybody with the big two. So it's funny how, you know, superheroes are definitely the bread and butter, but it's all of the other stuff. That's how I get people. I mean, Saga, you know, the couple that walked in, and I totally spaced it out when I was making recommendations to them. And then I was like, holy shit, you need to read Saga. You know, both of them were new to comics. Opera. Yeah. Star Wars meets, you know, Game Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. So many things you can combine with it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy. It's good. It's good stuff.
And it's just kind of weird. Like, I've seen a lot of writers and artists. It's like, it seems like, oh, you get a deal with DC or Marvel, and then you go to your creator-owned stuff. Like, you see that with Hickman. Like, he's like, all right, I'm done with Marvel. I'm going to go...
I'll write my own stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Brian K. Vaughan, he's just like, I'm done with DC and Marvel. I'm just going to focus on my own stuff.
But he really needs to write Legion of Superheroes. Yeah. Just saying.
I'd love for him to rewrite, write another Runaway story or something. That'd be cool. Yeah.
That'd be cool too.
And like you said, once you get that contract with either DC or Marvel, you write like two or three books for them. And then on the side, you have everything else. Mm-hmm. Like Nick Spencer, he's writing two books at Marvel and then like three Image properties that, you know, month to month or just
The solid. Fix, which we had kind of talked about. I guess it's like it's kind of like a cop investigatory sort of corrupt politicians and, you know, corrupt police people.
It sounds right up what Nick Spencer likes to write.
And it's like the tagline is all of these corrupt people can be brought down by a sex toy. So I have no idea what it's about. It's crazy popular. It
sounds incredible.
I see a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only, on Nick Spencer's Twitter, he keeps posting the same picture of this dog with like new dialogue. And that's funny. All right, what is this comic about?
But, you know, number one has gone on to fourth printing. Number two's on a third printing. Number three just came out and they've already announced a second printing. I think part of that, it sucks because there's a huge speculator market. Like, first print number ones are going for $20 and $30 already, and it's only 3 months old, which sucks, crazy.
Well, I think one of the CCBE people we both saw was like, oh, look, there's already a Flash Rebirth on eBay for like $15. Yeah. Like, really?
Come on, people. All going for that, you know? It's just, that part of the business drives me nuts.
And that's what I hate about the business. Yeah. You know, someone again on our Facebook group is like, yeah, I tried to buy five issues of this one comic and they told me no. I'm like, well, yeah, for good reason.
You know? Good for them for stopping you.
Right.
It's like, it bothers me. But with going back to creator-owned stuff, one of the things that Zach and I saw, essentially the rise of Aftershock comics.
Yeah, I was doing some research on it. They only started in April 2015.
That's crazy.
Like, I was just going through a bunch of the creators they have. They have Brian Azzarello, Tim Seeley,
Amanda Connor.
Amanda Connor.
Jimmy Palmiotti. Grant Morrison. Bennett, Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, and then they just signed like all these new creators for a book, like Neil Gaiman, Brian McCone or something. Not McCone, but like
Mike McCone?
No, not Mike McCone. It's like my something.
One of these days, we're actually going to get all the names straight.
I could try and find the article again.
I'll tell you, one of the books that intrigues me most that they're doing right now is Rough Riders, and I haven't had a chance to read it. But it's like Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders that are also, you know, sci-fi, you know, hunting aliens and stuff like that. So yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Yes, I'm in.
But it's just weird that they just came out of left field. It's like, here's all these great books. Like, Insects is awesome. Rough Riders sounds really cool. Right. Like,
the one I'm excited about is Life Spanners
by
Tim Seeley.
Yeah, that's another one.
You rent your superpowers for a given amount of time.
Or Amanda Connor's book, the Pro?
Super Zero?
Super Zero, yeah. Where it seems like it's very much like the...
Like the Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same exact art style, too.
Yeah. All these indie comics are just becoming super fascinating with all these big names attached while, you know, people do their things in DC and Marvel. So it makes me wonder, it's like, where is this, like, new room... Or how hard is it going to be now to break in the comic business when you have all these different companies organized now? Because, you know, Aftershock has as many big names as Image, so are they just going to, like, shoot up in the market? Or
I feel like they will.
Was it Heavy Metal? Grant Morrison's the editor of that one now, so he's doing his own thing. You know, the comic industry has become so drastically diverse, and it's just so awesome that you can literally find whatever you want.
Right.
Like, I'm looking at Cry Havoc over there, you know, lesbian werewolves fighting in a war. And I'm like, this is so outrageously bizarre. I love every issue.
Or, like, insects. Like, let's have some lesbians in Victorian London just murder people. Right. And but by the way, they're also, like, these insect creatures.
Or
and there's werewolves.
On from Boom, which is about, like, a mafia gang that... There's this crazy glow-in-the-dark spider that you eat, and it gives you powers, and they have to go enforce all of their mob territory, you know, using these powers. It was just awesome. Mm-hmm. It's a good time, you know, and I started with all of the, you know, when creator-owned stuff was just a glimmer in Dad's eye back in the mm-hmm. day, you know, you had Dark Horse, which was doing Trekker, and you had Concrete, and you had... all these awesome books that were from, you know, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And then you had, you know, the debut of Image with Spawn and Shadowhawk and Young, all of the, I mean, it's not Invincible. Garbage, but it's kind of garbage. The pre-Invincible, the pre kind of golden era of Image Comics, which was really just photocopies of other superheroes for the most part. And then you had Dark Horse that was doing, you know, Hellboy and mm-hmm. Sin City and 300, and you had all of these. So it's kind of been, it's been around for a very long time, but it's really just kind of gone to the next level the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years.
I want to kind of attribute this to the whole kind of, like, crowdfunding, sure. like, kind of, like, the crowd mentality, like, oh, like, you don't have to go through these big names anymore. Like, you can just give it directly to the fans. Like, right. if they will support you, like, I see that, like, all the time with Kickstarter. It's like, well, yeah, we could try to go with, like, some company, and then they'll regulate it, or we sell the idea, but
right.
now we have control, and, like, if well, you want how, this, people will buy it.
Yeah, right. that's how Leaving Megalopolis came about. It was a Kickstarter by Gail Simone and her artist. Gene Haas, May was the same thing. It was a Kickstarter success, and then Dark Horse is like, okay, we'll publish you.
Sure.
So, it's really cool, and, you know, going even further, you have... creators like Mark Miller
who makes
a comic,
right?
He has his Miller World, and then the purpose behind him making this comic with the artist is so that they become big names and they eventually sell the property to a movie company,
right?
I mean, he sold Chrononauts even before he wrote it and other stuff, and it caused a lot of debate about the fact that he makes these comics in order to later sell it as, like, a film franchise, sure. which some people have a problem with. But at the same time, it's like, look, I just want to help support myself and other people.
Right.
And right now he's finally going, reaching out. Other than artists, he's actually getting different writers for Miller World, which is insane. Mm-hmm. Because now you're going to see, all right, here's, like, my plan for Hit Girl. You're writing Hit Girl too now. You can do whatever you want with the dialogue, but it needs to end here.
Or, like, oh, Kingsman did really good. Right. Maybe we'll reboot. Someone will reboot Kingsman for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or so, even his new work with Greg Capullo.
Reborn.
Yeah. Which looks freaking awesome.
Yep. I just love that art style.
Yeah. It's going to be weird to see it not Batman, but it's going to be really... I'm just glad it's still there.
Right. That's cool.
Kind of one of the downsides I always looked at the creator-owned stuff is, yeah, they kind of control the release schedule too. Like,
sure.
I mean, yeah, usually, like, for Image, they do, like, all right, we're gonna write an arc and then we'll take a month break and then we'll come back, because then, you know, it's like, all right, story's done, trade comes out next month. Pick up the trade. Okay, right. You're good for the next 6 months.
Right.
I think Saga was the first one that really did that, where they did an arc and then they just went quiet for 3 months, and then the new issue came out, everyone just freaks out.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you see with kind of with Black Magic, like we talked about earlier, like Greg Rucka, now we don't, he's like, well, my goal's next year for April for the start of the second arc. But it's like, you see a book like that, it's like, oh, this is really intriguing. Now we're starting to get into the world. Now we don't even know what's going on.
Isn't he writing Lazarus too?
Yeah, he is.
Because that's another one that
I think
been
he's still
awesome.
He's still working on that.
But I don't know that there's another, because they just came out with the source book for Lazarus, and there's not another new issue that's scheduled to come out.
I think he said he was still going to be working on. Yeah, I think he said he's going to still be working on it during Wonder Woman.
That's cool.
But
I mean, as a fan, you can't get mad because you're the one that's buying into whole concept.
Yeah, it's just kind of always like that's the one downside I always see to the creator and things, like, especially with, like, sex criminals, like. It's probably going to be like at least another 6 months to almost close to a year before I see the next issue, probably.
Well, you're talking to a Hellboy fan. I mean, we had Hellboy in Hell 1 through 4, and then it's literally been, I think, a year and a half, and then 5, no, it was 1 through 5, 1 through 4, and then there was a break, and then they came out with 5, and then there was another break, and then they did 6 through 10 just recently, and now Mignola says, and he said it, he told us at San Diego last year that he was going to take a year off and just kind of do his own thing, and I got to, you know, the dude's been writing the guy for 25 years, so you know, you've got to take some time away and
do other
find
stuff.
Yourself and, you know, get new ideas and stuff like that. But, you know, it's good, it's awesome, but at the same time, it's like, but there's still going to be other stuff in the Hellboy world that will satiate me, so.
Right?
Like Abe Sapien,
right? And BPRD, and, you know,
is
they
that
do,
in the Hellboy universe?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Lobster Johnson and all of the goofy.
All right.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna dislike me now. My only knowledge of the Hellboy universe is like the Guillermo del Toro movies.
Yeah, same
for
me.
That's right. That's okay. That's all right. We'll work on that next after you get caught up on Aquaman. Then
John is just gonna convert people into his
well,
reading
stuff. That's what everyone on our comic book group is now. It's just like, well, thanks to John, I'm reading Aquaman now. I'm reading this.
I have more people subscribed to Aquaman than I think I do some of the bigger named Marvel titles, which is just insane and awesome. I love it. And my wife, she's like, all these people are picking up Aquaman. Is that because of you? I was like, you're damn right. It is.
It's working.
Is your story like purposely green and yellow for Aquaman? I just noticed that.
No.
No?
So there's...
It's convenient.
It's either Hulk in the back and Wolverine in the front.
Okay.
Or it's Green Lantern in the back and Sinestro in the front. So depending on who your publisher is,
okay,
it satisfies everybody's need.
That's fair.
But fair enough. I wanted to do orange, but I yeah, that would...
That'd be a little much.
Yeah. You have orange in the logo.
Yeah, exactly.
Just got that covered.
That's right.
Trying to think. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. I guess this makes it easier for you to find more horror books now, because horror is at least kind of the older style, like pre-comic book code stuff, since now it's like, oh, you see witches where it's like, oh, people are getting torn apart.
Right. Like, well, you've got so much good. You've got Hack Slash. You've got Lock and Key. You've got, you know, and so, granted, some of these are not ongoing, but they're still relatively new enough that they're not 70s House of Secrets or Creepies or Eerie's.
Right.
So they're still awesome.
Do you see this, like, now that there's a lot more creator-owned stuff like that, do you think that there's going to be more kind of the old-school horror books?
I hope so, because I love that stuff. You know, it can be campy, it can be cheesy. You know, Dark Horse does a creepy and an eerie anthology book that come out, I think, quarterly. So there's, you know, there's basically 6 or 8 stories in the book. All of the stories are maybe 4 or 5 pages long, but they're total throwbacks. It's all black and white, you know, but it's new. It's this day and age's creators, and they're awesome. It's great stuff. And it's horror without getting into like the torture porn of Crossed, which I've never read, and I don't carry any of it here at the store. You know, I've had like a couple of people ask for it, and we can order it for them, but we get too many kids in here.
Right, you're not putting that on the shelf.
And all of the stuff that Avatar does is just kind of it's out there. It is.
Is that the publisher that does like Uber and stuff?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. Let's just have a book about Nazis.
Right.
Woo.
Right.
Thanks, Kieran Gillen.
So they're interesting, but you know, I hope that we get more stuff like Witches, stuff like Harrow County, you know, and because these titles have been so successful, I hope it opens doors for other people who want to try some of that stuff. Because the horror, you know, you've got horror, you've got westerns, and there's not really a good western book right now other than East of West, which isn't really a western, but it's kind of a western. You know, Rough Riders, I haven't read it yet, but it may fit into that category a little. You know, the All-Star Western and the Jonah Hex stuff, I love that stuff, but it's just, there's the western, the romance, the war, and horror are always those kind of niche, and comedy, that's the other one that you don't see anybody do at all. They're so niche that
maybe the image and the aftershock.
It's a gamble to try to do something like that.
But at the same time, these publishers, they're providing a place for it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got Kaiju Max, which is fucking hilarious. It's I mean, it's a story about a prison for Godzillas, and it's completely ridiculous. And you have you've got Godzilla monsters that are like working out in the yard and lifting, you know, Empire State Buildings, you know, doing reps, trying to get stronger.
I might grab that after the podcast.
Totally ridiculous, but it fits that goofy. It's fun. It's humorous. Crazy shit goes down. You know, it's nice to have options like that.
Right.
Nice to have all of these publishers.
And
that,
speaking of the comedy thing, one of the new, like within the last year, you know, Archie came back all out of the sudden. With Mark Waid on it, and then Jughead had Chip Starsky. Right. Josie and the Pussycats is coming back with Marguerite
Betty
Bennett.
And Veronica with Adam Hughes art and interior, which is nuts.
And I read like Archie comics while waiting in the grocery line.
Sure. Yep.
And all especially when I worked at a grocery store. Yep. That's what I did. But, you know, after they was like, Mark Waid and Fiona Staples, I'm like, okay, I have to check this out.
Oh, Mark Waid's another one that has an Aftershock.
Yeah,
comic coming.
Right. It all comes together. Right. Always at the Z2 podcast. But,
bring it back.
Afterlife and Sabrina. Yeah. Afterlife with Archie is amazing. And Sabrina,
that's a straight up horror book. Sabrina's a horror book. And it's
finally
like,
back.
Wow.
You talk about delays. It's been like a year and a half since those issues have came out.
Archie meets Predator. Right. That's pretty great.
Yes.
But it's kind of cool that they're making these comics come out for like a newer generation.
Right.
Because again, I would never read Archie unless I was like bored out of my mind at work. But now I have Jughead in trade, and these are books I'm like, these are ridiculous, these are so awesome.
Right.
And they actually have like old issues in the back of every book that gives you an idea of where the story came from, and I'm like, wow, this is just a really cool modernization of this. It's essentially the reboot of Archie comics. And Zach over here reads everything by Marguerite Bennett. I'm like, dude, Josie and the Pussycats, you gotta read it.
No, it's just like, oh man, I love her writing style, but it's like, I've never read like anything
but they were
of the Archie
in
universe.
Like the old school Scooby-Doo comics, solving mysteries with the Scooby-Doo gang, not comics, the cartoon.
Right.
And I'm like, you gotta get on the hype train for Josie and the Pussycats.
Did either you guys do Future Quest or
I
Scooby
love Future
Apocalypse?
Quest. I haven't read Scooby Apocalypse yet.
Okay. Wacky Raceland just came out this week.
That was
so
awesome.
Crazy.
Mad Max meets old school cartoons. It's the best thing ever. Future Quest, though. That's like the one that I read. I'm like, I have to get every issue of this.
That's
I'm so excited by Johnny Quest and Harvey Birdman's Space Ghost.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Going back to the kind of the delays, that's the period for like all my Image comics of like when they're all, because usually the ones I read like typically go on break like almost within like a month of each other.
Sure.
So it's like that's when I find like new stuff. It's like, oh, this looks interesting, or I was like, oh, this is something else this artist did or writer did. So it's like, I'll give this a shot.
Sure.
And then I end up with like 22 freaking Image books on my whole list.
Right.
Or like new writer, or they announce new stories. Like Brian K. Vaughan just pumps out freaking creator-owned books like crazy. Yeah. It's like, oh, here's Paper Girls. Here's We Stand on a Guard.
Right.
Like, even though that was limited, it's like, here's this quick 6-issue series, like, for you.
Yep.
While I'm doing Saga, by the way.
Right.
While people on Twitter keep asking me to do Legion Superheroes, again, I'm still waiting. I really want that series to be done by him.
That'd be way cool.
Yeah, or at least Hickman to do it. I'm sorry.
No,
I really want to see a good Legion book come out.
Yeah.
I just don't see some of those people that are, like, kind of stayed away from Marvel and DC going back at this point, because it seems like they're comfortable. It's like, it's clear they've been successful doing this. Like, why would they want to go back to something that they don't have full control over anymore?
Yeah.
Unless they just like, it's like, oh, like Greg Rucka, it's like, oh, you can't say no to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You can't. See, I wonder, you know, if his work right now with DC provides us like good relationships again, if they would keep him on Wonder Woman, or maybe it's like, hey, do you want to do a new Question series or a new Batwoman? Because again, his female superheroes are probably, or his female
that's
heroines
really
are just really great. Yep, he's really known for women with dark long hair
and
that's every character
of some sort of like Latino or like some sort of descent that's not non-white descent.
Sure.
Yeah. Just, again, bringing diverse characters, and that's what I love about a lot of these indie series, is that all these characters are so diverse, and they're just, it's just really interesting to get something away from, like, the heteronormative of superhero comics, where it's the stupid minority fan base arguing. It's like, yeah, we have more diverse characters than you. And it's like, does it really matter? They exist.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're still the big two.
Yeah. It's just like, it's very, like you said, like you recommended so many different like indie and image books to people when they come into the shop, if they're like looking for a genre. It's almost like kind of the tagline of DCU. Well, Image, there is probably a book for you in there.
Absolutely.
Like, just look for like any sort of genre stuff. Like there's so many books that they cater to now. Right. Like even some of the smaller stuff, like comedy, like there, I mean, there's not a lot of that, but it is there if you look for it.
It is.
And that's just what
Satan Sodomy Baby 2 is coming out, so that's nothing but humorous.
Have you read Goddamned yet? I've been staring at it.
It's like a retelling
of the Bible.
Yes, exactly. By Jason Aaron.
Oh, wow.
It's so great.
And the art is insane. It's awesome. But there's a lot of dude wing in it, so just a heads up.
I mean,
it's as long as they do it better than Game of Thrones 2 weeks ago. Like,
I didn't see it.
So. Pretty much it's like, all right, you're complaining, or ladies are complaining about not enough dick. Here's this really disgusting flaccid penis in your face.
Zach, have you read Tokyo Ghost?
I have not. I really like the art. And
they
the
joke around that they need to receive like the most gratuitous dick award on Twitter. There's a penis in like every issue.
That's awesome.
Super great series if you're into sci-fi post-apocalypse.
And see, I have those and I haven't read them yet, but I bought them because it's Sean Murphy. I love his art. I love his art style. So I need to read it.
Yeah.
So many good books.
I'm just staring at your wall. I'm like, I need to read.
And like, so that's like nice. Autumn Lands. I love Autumn Lands, and I was like, this is amazing. It's, you know, it's magic. It's, you know, animals with, you know, personified as humans, and you know, this magical world, and they're summoning this magic user. And then issue two is nothing but dude Wang running across it. So I'm like, yeah, this is great for your kids. Read this. It's about magic and animals. And then there's a huge cock running around on the.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know
was coming. My bad.
Nobody saw it.
Well, I work out in middle school.
Yeah.
And we were showing Princess Bride.
Okay.
Super fantastic movie. Great for all ages. They say bitch like halfway through the movie, and I put my head on my desk, just like,
it's the 80s, man. Please. That rating system.
Right.
Please. I just always bring up Ghostbusters, like, yes, sir, this man has no dick. Right. Like, did you say dick in a PG movie? It was a different time.
They say Pussy Willow in Wreck-It Ralph.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Sorry. Again,
get away with stuff.
Watching movies in my film class, and I always leave subtitles because my speakers suck. And then just hearing like an 11-year-old giggle, I'm like, no, you're not allowed to giggle at that stuff.
Stop it. Stop.
Don't be in my presence knowing about that stuff.
Right. You guys excited for the new Ghostbusters movie?
I'm on the fence about it.
Yeah. I'll go see it. I'm not
that's
excited,
how I feel about it. Yeah. I'll go see it.
But
it probably won't be that bad.
There's a dude came in yesterday decked out, Ghostbusters shirt, Ghostbusters hat. I was like, what do you think about the new movie? He's like, I hate it. Not even going to give it a chance.
No! I honestly don't think it's going to be as bad as everyone makes it.
I don't think so.
The latest trailer gave away that Chris Hemsworth becomes the villain.
Oh, really?
Halfway through the movie. He gets possessed by a ghost, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. So that's why
that would have been cool to know watching the movie, not during the trailer.
Yeah.
That's trailers give away too much now.
I agree.
Except for The Conjuring. We're going to go see it, right?
No, I'm not seeing the freaking Conjuring.
James Wan, he's directing Aquaman. It. You got to get an understanding of how he directs.
Context in this, John, when we went to go see Civil War, there was a trailer. I want to say it was Civil War. It was some movie we saw. There was a trailer for The Conjuring 2.
Okay.
And it started to get like really creepy and like jump scary. And I hate that stuff.
Gotcha.
I cannot do it.
He just pulls his phone out and goes on Facebook. I'm like, are you really trying to avoid this? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Can't stand it.
But you read something like Witches.
Well, that's different because it's creepy.
So would you watch the Witches movie?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay.
Just because I think it's most...
With his phone like this the whole time. Like...
Oh, I like this
one. As long as there's not like unnecessary jump scares, that's what I hate. Like, I don't mind creepy. It's like, it's just trying to like... provoke anxiety.
But that's what American horror movies are.
Yeah,
that's why
I really don't like
jump scare stuff. Which,
like, I don't mind. Like, I like the creepy stuff. Like, I think that's why I like Witches and American Vampire. Like, one, I can take it at my own pace of my reading speed, and like, if it gets like way too, I never actually had to put like a horror book down that I've read though.
Sure.
So, I think it's just that different kind of setting too. It's like
it's
I'm not in a dark
pictures.
Room with just ambient noise like crowding me.
Gotcha. All right, so we're gonna play some horror games when we start our YouTube series.
Please, no.
And since you never turn the lights on in your apartment, it'll work great.
Nice. I do turn them on.
Sometimes.
Only when it gets, like, really dark.
All right. Should we move on to
irrational fears? Just everything jump scary?
I want to say it was because, like,
I just like to know people's irrational fears, just in case.
I'm just going to bring a...
I'm just going to bring a...
Yeah, exactly. What would happen if I brought a, like, a squid? What would happen if I just brought a squid plush
or
something?
See, I'm okay with squid. Squid don't bother me.
It's octopus.
They're the same.
They're not the same.
They both have tentacles.
Completely different body form? Nope, not at all. Totally different.
Are you really going to argue with the aquatic man?
Right.
I'm just going to say, they both have tentacles.
No,
it does, I always thought it was the tentacles.
It's not the tentacles. It's the way the octopus...
We're getting into this.
How deep do you want to go? No.
Go for it and knock yourself out. All right. Should we move on?
Yeah.
To picks?
Yes. Let's do picks. Non-rebirth stuff. Since
you can pick something rebirth. You're our guest.
Yeah, Aquaman. So there you go.
There you go. Done. Everyone should read it.
Go out and get it. I'm sold out, so get it somewhere else.
Good luck getting that second print.
Yeah.
Everything's going second print. It's great.
It is. It's crazy.
Zach, you want to start with yours?
Let me grab my phone real quick.
Go for it.
I don't know what I read this week. I've literally, like I said,
I read
three
non-rebirth issues this week.
I read 50 issues of Aquaman.
Woohoo!
This
Aquaman,
past week.
Two to nothing.
So, man. Oh, the one thing I want to talk about. I really enjoyed Civil War Spider-Man. Again, my three picks go between Spider-Man, Star Wars, and Batman every week. So Civil War Spider-Man came out. And the one thing that I really appreciate about it, it features Ulysses very heavily. And basically the only big thing about it that I enjoyed was that Peter Parker invents the middle ground and says, we need to understand how your powers work. So you're going to come out and hang out with me. And we're not going to stop a crime until we know it's right about to happen.
That's cool.
Because it goes against the Tony logic. It goes against the Carol logic. Again, Peter is like the only rational thinker in the Marvel universe because he gets so beat up emotionally.
It's like, and I know where this is going. I'm not going to do this again.
Yeah. And my favorite scene out of this week that wasn't like super nostalgic came from that book where Peter gets home late. He's tired. So he goes to the Baxter Building, which is one of Parker Industries, and gets in bed, and Johnny Storm's laying in bed there. And he's sitting there. It's like, Johnny, just flame on or something. I really don't want to stare at you naked. And it was just one of those really comedical moments. I'm like, this is great. That's and, cool. Yeah.
Who wrote that?
Cause it wasn't Dan Slott. Yeah, it was the guy who writes the... I can't remember. I want to say it's the guy who does like the point issues for Spider-Man, but I'm not sure off the top of my head. I forgot to write it down.
Good dirt.
Travel right. Foreman is the artist, though, I think.
Yeah. Do you have it on your wall?
I don't. It's sold out, oh. too.
You're
how,
that
did, how did the Everything's art come across? Out. Because he did, so Travel Foreman did the New 52 run of Animal Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different style of art. I don't
it's
know. I don't know what it looks like
than
in
that.
Spider. Okay.
So okay. I love that Animal Man art, sure. But it's a lot cleaner than that. Just everyone has like a really defined shape. And
gotcha.
It's very, it's not static, but you can tell when characters are sitting or they're not ready about to move. So I like the art. I like Spider-Man in general. So I really enjoyed it this week.
That's another character I'd love to see come back, Animal Man.
Yeah. Yes.
There was some, this is really just completely off topic, but do you see there were like designs released of Justice League United stuff that didn't happen with like new designs for Stargirl and Animal Man?
I didn't.
They looked so cool.
That Those sucks. Designs are so busy though.
Yeah.
To draw
there's a
them
lot happening
week
in
after week.
That's cool.
Man.
I love the design though.
Give me the jacket Animal Man.
Yeah. Oh, there was an Equinox. Yeah, they had a new Equinox design
you're
too.
You're all about jackets and goggles. That's yeah. weird. Yeah. I just noticed that.
It's just so much fun.
We also realized that I like
it's
characters.
It's my first introduction to Animal Man.
Okay.
So like my first introductions characters are probably like my favorite costumes
sure.
of them. So like Fingerstripe, Nightwing.
Gotcha.
And then Disco Wing.
Or for me, Mouse. Red Hood, like I want it as like a motorcycle helmet, not in this face stuff.
Sure.
That's just weird to me.
Yeah.
But I think I really just got hooked on like the helmet and goggles for Animal Man because I read 52.
Gotcha.
Yeah. 52 is such a great series.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Zach, go.
So, yeah, my kind of sticking with our whole, like, main topic of indie, my favorite this week was Lumberjanes and Gotham Academy crossover, which I never expected to happen, but it was it was straight up like the combination of those two series feel like. You had the kind of the like mystery detective stuff that Gotham Academy brings with the whole, oh, one of our professors has gone missing, so we got to go out to the forest where the Lumberjanes are and fight because that's where she was.
That's cool.
So wait, yeah, and there's like all these like kind of like it was almost like a Scooby-Doo episode. Like there's these like wraith-like creatures that are just like, get off our land. It's like, and then Olive gets captured, or like two of the one Lumberjane. It was the their counselor for Lumberjanes and Olive get captured at the very end.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, we got to work together to go get them back and find our professor again.
Nice.
It's just a really fun series because you still have the funny and kind of punny dialogue from Lumberjanes, and then the like rational and like sporadic character of Maps from Gotham Academy just teaming up together. It was just so much fun.
That's cool.
I can't wait for Gotham Academy to come back with second semester or whatever. It's going to be such a fun book. And Carl Kerschel's back on art.
That's cool.
So pumped. Right.
Yeah.
Sadly, no jackets and goggles. Sorry,
no
John.
Jackets and goggles. Damn it.
They have hats.
They have hats.
Is Boombox owned by anyone, or is this just kind of like a...
Well, it's Boom.
Oh, Boom, yeah.
Boombox.
Yeah, Boom's an indie company. That Boombox right
just
there.
Kind of, yeah. Like I said, we mentioned it earlier. It just was kind of weird. It's like, all right, what's the combined Lumberjanes and Gotham Academy?
Well, it seems like DC's more open to doing
the collaborations again.
Yeah, like or Batman
Ninja Turtles or Star Trek Green Lantern.
Batman Meets Predator got reprinted recently.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see where DC keeps going. Mm-hmm. They've been doing such an awesome job with Rebirth.
And the Young Animal stuff with Gerard Way, that sounds
super... Shade the Ever-Changing Girl. Again, yes. Jacket.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. That's awesome.
We're starting to figure out things about what
Gentleman
like.
Ghost, Jacket, and Monocle.
Oh, fair game. Doom Patrol comes back, too. That's what I'm most excited about.
That's going to be way cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. Those are our picks for this week. And I think that's going to close out this episode of the Z2 Podcast. Once again, thank you, John, for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
That was a good one.
I don't know if I contributed anything, but it's always fun.
No, your knowledge of just like kind of the older stuff is really helpful for when we bring up stuff.
Old man nostalgia.
Once again, for any new listeners, where can they find you, John? Your shop, your any social media stuff?
We are in Parker, Colorado, 10336 Dransfeld Road, number 8. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Hall of Justice Comics. Twitter and Instagram are both at HOJ Comics. And so check us out there. We're gonna be at Denver Comic Con next weekend. I think we're booth 929 or 939. I don't know. We're right behind Stan Lee Collectibles and Ivy Doom Kitty. So if you find
Doom
them,
Kitty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Doom boobies. But we're going to try to... I'm dressing up as Hellboy on Saturday, so we're going to try to take a bunch of pictures and do all that.
Are you
a
Hellboy
fun
fan?
Yeah, just a little.
When are you going to do your Swamp Thing cosplay?
Dude, I would love to do that. I just don't know how... I've seen a couple pictures of people that like get ghillie suits and go as Swamp Thing, and that's just not it. That's not going to cut it.
Doesn't count.
The two that I want to work on, I want to work on a Swamp Thing, and I want to work on a Black Manta, because I think that would be pretty badass. So,
all right, cool. So, as always, you can find us on Facebook at Z2 Podcast, Twitter on Z2 Podcast as well. If you're already subscribed to us on iTunes, good job.
Appreciate it.
We love you.
Please leave us a review if you have the 2 minutes of your day.
I need to do that still.
Leave us a review. We'd appreciate it. Just tell us what you like about us. We have a third microphone on, so if you like the three people dynamic, we can do more of that. We have a few more episodes planned.
Yeah, we got some stuff planned. I'm going to put out a little mini vlog sometime this week, just kind of explaining stuff that's coming up.
Nice.
We plan on doing an anime podcast eventually.
Maybe a video game one. Just talk about that.
Oh, shit. I watched the first episode of the new Voltron series. It's on Netflix.
I heard it's good.
Holy crap. It's amazing. Sorry.
Yeah.
You just.
You reminded me.
That's my toe dip into anime. That's all.
Sorry.
It's not
my
really anime at all. So.
I really wanted to bring up, I've been watching Preacher. That's
nice.
A creator owned series. But we're running out of time.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about Preacher next week. Three episodes in. Oh, my God. So good.
That's awesome.
And as always, for any Android, if you have friends who have Android you have an Android device, you can listen to us on Google Play and Stitcher Radio, or you could always get that MP3 download on our site, z2podcast.wordpress.com. So, yep, as always, see you guys next time.
Love you, Internet.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hail Hydra.